Well, how's everybody doing tonight? Pretty good. Well. Great. I love it. Everybody nice, comfortable? So what have we been talking about the last several weeks? So there's three words that I say every time. Passion, purpose, life. And all of this is an effort and a goal to refocus back on Christ. And the intent here is to talk about real stuff, to talk about our life, to talk about things that get in our way, to discuss it in an open way, to get one another to think, to get one another to act. And in our previous session, we discussed real life. So we had an off week last week, right? Everybody got to refresh and recharge their minds by singing songs and lifting one another up and singing songs of praise to God. So in our last session, we discussed real life. And the challenge that I left you with was to consciously decide how we would respond to our greatest fears. How we would respond to our greatest fears becoming a reality. There's a whole lot of stuff that whenever I look out across the landscape, across the horizon, no matter which way I look at, if I open my eyes, I get really frustrated. And I don't function very well when I don't open my eyes. So that tells me that I have to figure it out, right? So my eyes are open now, and I can't tell anything about you this way. And I can't really function that way either. So I got to look a little bit more carefully at things, and I got to wear my glasses. So that being said, I revealed that I had a fear of censorship. That one day in my lifetime that I feel like I have a fear that I may not be able to talk and teach and preach and visit with folks the same way that I have the freedom today. I also said that I had a fear of being able to assemble freely and in the manner that we are accustomed to today. Those are just fears that I have. And looking at the horizon, looking at the landscape, and the way that things seem to be getting more and more politically correct. And those are fears that I have. And even those fears are founded sometimes today. And so I try to remind myself that, you know what, it doesn't matter. I'm going to have to live in the world that I've been born in. And to this point, I haven't been called to fight a world war. I haven't endured the Great Depression, but I've been called to live in a different time period. So, I don't know if you had the opportunity to think about some of your greatest fears becoming in reality, and with those fears, if you would decide whether or not you would stand as Daniel did, and stand for whatever values that you have and for Christ, regardless of cost. So we've consistently acknowledged that the world is painful. We've consistently acknowledged that we are distracted. Right, last week I had some of you hold up your smartphones and talk about the fact that we live in a distracted society. All right. Is anybody here busy? Okay, lots of laughs, nods, giggles, right? I don't know if I've ever read about or heard about a more busy period of time. All right. So all of those things that we've talked about in previous classes guides us to tonight's topic. So last week was, what's real life like? And this week is focus. What are we focused on? And what I would like to do tonight, you see that I have the nice big board, and I'll try to write where you can read it, although I'm not promising anything. But I want to do an exercise with you, all right, about what we focus on. And when I say that I'm going to do an exercise with you, that means I'm going to ask you for a response, and you're going to give something back that I can write on the board, okay? Thank you. I like this. All right, so name things we devote time, effort, energy, and money to. Children. All right. Now I heard somebody say church. All right. Education. Recreation or entertainment. Food. All right. Is it okay if I can include that with recreation, hobbies? All right, food. Let me add work. Holidays, celebrations. Are there any others? All right, so these are pretty big categories. Sports, I'm going to put that with recreation also. Diversions. All right, so in each of these things, I've put them in columns. All right, what does work require of us? Time. Is that all it requires? Energy, effort. Dedication. What does food require? Money. Anybody have to prepare food? Got to shop for food? Anything else? I'm sorry? A big fork. All right, so utensils, right? Resources. Clean. Yeah, we got folks out there still cleaning up. All right, sports, recreations, hobbies. What does that require of us? Money, training. Time. What else? Energy?
Concentration?
Did I hear dedication? Education. Money, time. Dedication. Gas. Did I hear somebody say patience? All right, what about church? Now, this is kind of a church. What does church require? Time. Time, I heard energy, dedication. What all are we lumping into church? Worship. Is that it? Time, energy, dedication? Commitment. Study. Desire. Do any of these require people, relationships? I heard fellowship. All right, children. Time. Oh, whoa, wow, this is great. You've got a lot of parents. All right, so time, money. Attention, motivation? Self-control? So they require rest? Could I put self-sacrifice? All right, holidays or celebrations, events on our calendars. Y'all are killing me. Money, stress. Time? I don't know. What else? Is that it? Sorry? Thought. Planning. All right. So these things, right, deplete us. More or less. We're talking about focus. On all this stuff, how do we maintain our focus? Isn't that hard? Isn't it hard to cram all this stuff in? Yeah. We have a calendar to try to help with this, and this, and this, and this, and this, and this, and this. We have a calendar to try to help, but that's a lot of stuff to stay focused on. Anybody do anything with goals? It's okay if you do or don't. All right, for those of you that do things with goals, how many goals are realistic to achieve? 3 to 5. That's actually pretty realistic. 3 to 5. If you have more than that, chances are you're not going to be very successful in achieving all those things. All right? So, that's a lot to keep up with. Plus, we're distracted, right? We didn't even include, nobody on here included internet type stuff, right, in our recreation. All right. So, talking about focus, if we can publicly acknowledge that it's really hard to keep up with 3 to 5 things, and we came up with all these different activities that fill our lives, how do we handle that with our relationship with Christ? Organization? Yes. All right. So, hopefully, woven within all of these things is our relationship with God, right? Hopefully, within all of these activities where we're spreading ourselves, He is woven in. All right, so some of the things that we didn't include on this list. All right? Friends. Now, we have children, but we don't have family. We don't have spouses. Oh, man. So we listed all these things off. And we miss things like that. We didn't talk about retirement or stages of life. within work, how many hours do we spend there? Plenty? Lots and lots and lots? Sometimes not enough? All right, depending on where you are, maybe not enough. All right, within work, what are some different relationships that we have within work? Owner? Employee? Supervisor? Customer, is that what I heard? Underlings? All right. Are you trying to make me write funny stuff on here? All right. So, yes. Friend? Does work take a lot out of us? Sure does. Does work take a lot out of you and then they have part of a freeway closed? Anybody have that happen today to you? Yeah? Okay. That's a lot of stuff. And there's a lot of things that drain us. And we already answered the question, who isn't busy these days? Everybody's busy. No matter what stage of life you're in, you're busy. You have lots of things to keep up with, lots of things to be involved with. All right. So he said that hopefully God and Christ, right, is within all of these aspects of our life. But when we're in the moment or we're in the places wherever we are and we're constantly being drained and spent, how does that relate? We ever forget? Sometimes he gets the leftovers. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. What's the purpose for which we live? Why are human beings human beings? Why are we here? Serve God? Worship Him? Why do we exist? I'm sorry? To become holy as He is holy. Sorry? Because He made us?
Isn't the world a stage and we're all the players and the purpose is to be the kind of people He picks? I didn't word that perfectly. I've always thought of that Shakespeare. He made the universe, so we need to act out our parts.
So I fully believe that we have our purposes to perform here. And these are all things where we involve ourselves with our unique talents, skills, abilities, desires, wants, interests, all of those things, right? Hopefully these things are places that fulfill us, that help fulfill us, and to help us reach those around us. I want us to turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're going to read in verse 11. We're going to look at a few more verses after this as well. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting in verse 11, says, "Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, so that you will not be dependent on anybody." So what's said here? What's one of the reasons we're doing what we're doing in life? All right, what does it mean to lead a quiet life? Has anybody led a loud life? So we had somebody raise their hand. They've led a loud life. Seriously. How would you describe a loud life? It's the opposite of quiet. So what is a loud life? What's that? Okay. So there's a basketball player that was recently, during the offseason, was traded from the Los Angeles Lakers to the Orlando Magic. Anybody know who that was? They don't talk about him because he's not playing any good. Andrew Bynum. He was a loud liver. According to his neighbors, whenever he left, they were happy because he had lots of loud and rowdy friends over, up all night, speeding through the neighborhood with loud, fast cars. And it bothered the neighbors. All right? Leading a loud life. So I'm sure we could elaborate more and more and more and more on those things. But that's a loud life. All right? Disregard for other folks. Is that a hand or just a... Okay. Absolutely. Oh, I'm sorry. So one of the things that Lori pointed out is that living a loud life may be somebody that requires the limelight all the time. They're not necessarily living that other lifestyle, but they're always in need of the constant attention. All right, why work? What's the purpose of work, as we read here? To provide for your family. to not be dependent on anyone. Is that always realistic? Aren't there seasons of life where we have had to depend on somebody? When you were an infant, right over here, what can this child do for itself? Cry. I mean, really nothing, right? There are seasons of life where, yeah, we're dependent. There may be times in our lives where we can't work, or we're hurt, we're sick, we're injured. But what we read here is that the intent is that we can win the respect of outsiders and not be dependent on anyone. Yes. Yes, and we're actually going to cover that, so I'm glad you pointed it out. It doesn't mean work to the neglect of everything else. Why do we need to win the respect of others?
We're trying to be a good example.
All right, trying to be a good example. So what can people notice about the way that we work? Nothing? Honesty? Yeah. Character. Yeah, we talked about it in our lesson earlier, right? About the way that other folks behave and what people know to be true. All right. People are going to notice the way that we live, the way that we act, the way that we work. And what has to be present in our life? What has to be present? Right? Isn't this what we believe? That he has to be present in our life? All right, so, started reading a book the other day, and came across some interesting thoughts. It's a book called Lead Like Jesus by Ken Blanchard and Phil Hodges. Inside this book, they talk about things that we can get caught up with, good or bad. They say this, addictions, both positive and negative, start as a voluntary attempt or choice to experience something desirable and end up as a compulsion that grows continually stronger and out of control. When we seek safety from pain and loss of self-esteem in at-risk things like our possessions or our positions, we're vulnerable to anxiety and fear as key drivers for our thoughts and behaviors. Now, how many of us fear losing these things? Right? When we work hard for what we earn, does anybody want to see it disappear? Our children, our loved ones, our friends, our businesses. Anybody want to see those disappear? All right. So here are some examples of what this may look like. Rob. Okay. Just checking. Rob is a workaholic who's afraid to slow down and look at the condition of his life. He feels trapped when his wife or kids ask for help or when forced into a period of inactivity due to illness. He keeps up a schedule of late hours and early mornings to avoid the gnawing feeling of emptiness. Janet. These are just names that are in the book. Is a control freak who's afraid of failure. So she chooses personal exhaustion rather than the training others and delegating to them. By micromanaging and keeping other people dependent on her for information, she seeks to protect herself from becoming obsolete or losing her source of power. Craig is a fitness addict who goes into an emotional and relational tailspin at the first sign of illness or his own aging or the aging or illness of someone with whom he is identified. Cynthia is an approval addict who fears rejection and broods over a 2% negative rating on a feedback form or an overheard piece of unfavorable gossip. Tracy is a teenage relationship junkie who will do bad things with bad people rather than face being alone. Now, chances are we've met Rob, Janet, Craig, Cynthia, Tracy at some point. in our life, chances are we've probably been or are currently one of these examples. Focus. It is so easy, it is so incredibly easy to get lost in worry and fear and anxiety and activity. We're constantly fighting, at least I feel in my life, all of those things pushing and pulling and trying to separate me from what's most important. Focus. What do we do to maintain focus? What can we do to maintain focus? Prioritize? What do you mean? Pick the things that are most important. All right? So we can prioritize what's most important to us. Has anybody heard it said that if you fail to plan, you plan to fail? Anybody ever heard that? Probably, right? If you aim for nothing, you'll hit it every time. What this tells me and what this exercise tells me that I have to make sure that that's a priority, always. Even whenever I'm comfortable. Yes.
I think it requires learning to say no as tightly as you can to avoid getting priorities out of whack. I, as an empty nester, I noticed so many younger families where it seems to me that the children are running the household, the parents are just taxi drivers, taking the junior from one event to another.
All right. So a point was made by Glenn about our ability to say no. And looking from his perspective as an empty nester and looking at families perhaps where we have young children like mine, where maybe we overcommit. We have a tendency not to say no to commitments and say no in a nice way. Not just no, but no in a nice way. Is anybody, I'm a people pleaser. Self-admitted people pleaser. I hate saying no. Anybody else have problems saying no? Man. Yeah. And then we end up with all this stuff and we can't do it all. And we let people down. And we lose our focus on what's most important. All right. Let's turn over to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. All right, we're going to read verse 20, starting in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. My son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to a man's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for it's a wellspring of life. Put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet and take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. What happens whenever we take our eye off of something that we're still going towards? You drift. All right, so Chelsea constantly checks on this with me when I'm driving. Because I love looking to see what's changed around neighborhoods and areas and businesses, and I love checking it out. And every now and then, we may end up in a different lane than where we were starting from, because I have taken my focus off the road. And I'm looking out the window, and we kind of drift off that way. All right, another way. This happened to me when we lived in Shepherd. I was throwing newspapers at night. I was doing a few things, working a few jobs. And so I was tired in the middle of the night. And on part of my route, I fell asleep. And when I woke up, I looked up in time to see a stop sign, and I slid through the intersection and hit a barbed wire fence. And I thought, wow, I just got incredibly lucky that, A, nobody was here, and B, I just bumped the fence. It didn't, you know, cut through my car and injure me or anything. I was able to go on with the rest of my night. But I knew right then and there that I could not continue functioning that way, that there was no way that I could continue going on living the way that I was living and sleeping as little as I was sleeping. And that was a wake-up call for me, literally a wake-up call. And it led to drastic changes in our life that have brought us here. And as I think about stuff like that, we burn ourselves at so many different ends. And a lot of times, as was pointed out, God gets the leftovers. And a lot of times, our families get the leftovers. And a lot of times, our relationships get the leftovers. And when I stop and I look back at it and I think, what's it all about? What's it really all about? What's it worth sacrificing all that time, all that effort, all that energy? What's it all about? How clear is the Bible about stuff and things? Very clear? Crystal clear. Man. And yet, I'm doing all this stuff, and then I stop and I look back and I think, what in the world was I thinking? What am I doing to myself? What's the real purpose? All right, so focus, it's easy to lose. And I'm a human being, and looking around the room, y'all are all human beings. And we're not perfect. Some of us have some wisdom to share with us young folks. Some folks have had taken on a lot of debt that straps families and marriages. Some folks have been on both sides of that, good and bad. It's very easy for us to lose our focus about what it's all about. And as I've been working through this class, I have different feedback that comes back to me. And one of the things that was pointed out is what it really all boils down to. Yes. All right. So what I hear, a point that Glenn made as business owners and other ways that you can apply it to your life is in Proverbs 23 and verse 4, is that you got to have boundaries and limits. And how true is that in every aspect of our life? We have to have these boundaries and these limits. Otherwise, we're going to lose our focus, and we're going to lose our way, and we're going to need a reminder. Yes.
Pretty frightening for me, but in
Excellent. Thank you. So one of the main things that I hope that we get out of this is in regards to perspective. And I want you to look around this auditorium, because we're all fighting this same focus. We're all imperfect. Nobody here has it all figured out. What I hope is that we do have the attitude of where we are, we're there for a reason, and that reason is to give God glory. And it's great to be involved. We can be influential that way. It's great to be busy and successful at our work and at our home. But if our focus is off, it really doesn't matter. Now, excuse me. When I talk about looking around the auditorium, I'm serious. We're all supposed to be striving for the same thing. All of us. All of us. We do a lot to be here. We do a lot to serve in other ways. And we're called to encourage one another as brothers and sisters in Christ and to be examples no matter where we find ourselves. And we should be challenging one another on what our life's focus is about. We have folks that have made career changes because they felt like their focus wasn't in the right area. We have some folks that undoubtedly are workaholics. We have some folks that undoubtedly neglect families because of their jobs. We have extremes all over the place. But the key is having focus and helping to gently remind what it's really all about. I want you to leave tonight thinking about where our focus should be and being willing to help one another out. To be willing to stretch yourself beyond your comfort zone, to involve other people in your life beyond your typical comfort zone. To be able to talk about things that really matter. To get away from the superficial busyness garbage and work with one another and encourage one another. Otherwise, there's no point. If I'm supposed to do this all on my own as David Sparks, and you're supposed to do it all on your own as your family or as your person, there's no point. If one thing is clear, it's that we need help and we need a Savior and we can't do it alone. And you're not being asked to do it alone. All right. I would like us to turn to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. Let's read verses 25 through 28. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." The admonition and the encouragement tonight is, if we focus on helping one another out with God and Christ at the center, this other stuff's going to work out. And we may have to say no to activities and to people, and for some of us it's really hard, but our example is a servant. And that's what we're supposed to be. There's nobody here that doesn't need to be a servant. and isn't called to be a servant. Yes, Dan. All right, so what I would like to end with tonight is you're not perfect, you're not perfect, you're not perfect, you're not perfect. None of us here are perfect. And we need to be willing and able to admit that we have weaknesses and we need one another's support. And it's our job and our duty to serve and to meet those needs where people are. Thank you very much.